hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Okay, so God has always revealed himself as a healer all the way through. Even in the Old Testament, when we find his names reveal sometimes who he is, he's revealed it by his names, and one of the names is Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord who heals you. It's one of his names, even in the Old Testament. So let's just look at a couple of verses. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 23. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. That means your food and your life. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Wow. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Remember, this is just Old Testament stuff. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Wow. So even in the Old Testament, God always reveals himself as a healing God, bringing healing into the lives of people. I remember Kenneth Hagin many years ago saying, as God began to reveal to him about healing, he saw healing on every page of the Bible. Derek Prince said one time, I remember hearing him on one of those 6 a.m. radio things that used to put you back to sleep back in the day. But he was saying that he began to study healing, and he got a blue marker and he underlined every verse in the Bible that had that was to do with healing. And at the end of the exercise, he had a blue Bible. So healing is core. It's on every page. It's in both Testaments. It's interesting. Now then, of course, then Jesus comes to planet Earth and we find him constantly healing the sick. I talked about this the other Sunday night. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus, people ask, what is God like? He's exactly like Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, look at this, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So when you see Jesus, he's the mirror image of God. So Jesus is God on planet Earth doing God stuff. And what do we see Jesus doing? Not once does he kill a person. Not once does he tell a person to stay sick. Not once does he do any of that stuff. Now what do we find him doing? The opposite. Healing people, setting them free, blessing their lives. He's the mirror image of God. God is always interested in healing people's lives in a multitude of ways, but certainly including physical. So God's plan for people is good. It's to bless them, to set them free, and to heal them. Okay, so here's Jesus. We read a few things about him here. Matthew 4:23, please. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now, he did most of his ministry in Galilee, which is in the northern Israel. I had the privilege of going there earlier this year. And so it's interesting, they say that when you, and you do, you know, they say that when you go to the Galilee, the atmosphere is different. And it is, you go from even from Jerusalem or Tel Aviv up into the Galilee where Jesus spent most of his time, and the atmosphere is different up there. You can feel something different just from the fact that he was there. It's incredible. But he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 8:16-18. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Wow. So Jesus on earth went about healing people constantly. And this is such an incredible verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that same Jesus, even though he died on a cross and rose from the dead and provided eternal redemption for all of us, he now also is the same. So that same Jesus that was healing back then is still healing today through the power of the Holy Spirit on this planet. Amazing. If he was doing miracles and healing then, he's doing miracles and healing today. Now, this is really interesting to me. John 21, is it? 25. Now, this is interesting. It says, and there are also, now at the end of the book of John, John's got a list of the things that Jesus did. And at the end of it, he says this, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that could be written. Amen. See, so what we have the New Testament. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. We have a snapshot of what happened. But the Bible says that he did so much more miracles and healing that are even recorded, that if it was even possible, I suppose, John says, that even the world could not contain the books that could be written. Wow. Now, it's going to hit home when I give you some stats in a minute. So now, also, John 20, verse 30. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So, it's incredible. Now, let me just ask you a question this morning. This was astounding to me. Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years on earth, right? From the time he entered his earthly ministry to the time he died on the cross and rose from the dead, 3.5 years. So out of those 3.5 years, how many days in the life of Jesus do you think are recorded in the four Gospels? Do you hear that? How many, like, he lived for 3.5 years, but how many of those days do you think are recorded in the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all added together. 30, that's not bad. Yeah. 27 days. Only 27 days of his life are recorded, and they're not even full days. They're just little snippets of days, of events that happened in those days. So if you count all the other I've got here, 1,250 days in his life, you can see what John's getting at here. We've only got little snapshots of 27 days, and we see these incredible healings and incredible miracles, but there's another 1,250 days that we don't even know about, where he was doing incredible things. Just amazing. So just snapshots. Now there are several, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. There are several Greek words to describe the word healing that's translated healing in English in our English Bible. The first one is AMI. It means the word for cure. It's often used as the word for doctor. It's not used very often. There's another word for healing. It's sozo. And sozo means to make whole, make well. It's not used very often either. This is really interesting. The word that's used 95% of the time, where it says where Jesus healed people, is the Greek word therapeo. Interesting. Now, when you hear therapeo, it reminds us of an English word, therapy. And that's where we get our English word from, therapy. So now these verses, and quite often, you know, what is therapy? Therapy is, it's not an instant thing, right? There's a process involved here. And so sometimes in therapy, you have to be involved in the process. The therapist will say, you know, you need to, I've never been to anger management. But I heard that if you're in them, you know, they give you these little exercises to do to manage your anger. And so therapy is a to and fro. Now, it's interesting with Jesus. He prays for people, and 95% of the time when we see the word healing, it's therapeo, and when he prays for them, he gets them to do something, to respond. He says, stretch out your hand, take up your bed and walk, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The 10 lepers, he prays for them. He says, go and tell, you show yourself to the priest. The Bible says that as they went, they were healed. And so sometimes when we pray for people, what we'll do is we'll get them to do something they couldn't do before. Therapeo, just for that healing to work. So, but my main point with therapeo is this, is that we get into a mindset that when we pray for someone and it doesn't happen instantly, we say, well, it didn't happen. But you got to change your mindset, because we pray for somebody and there's an instant healing. I would tend to call that a miracle, and we believe in miracles and we want the miracle. But listen, Jesus himself even said about us, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, but they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Process. So here's the point. When we pray for people and we don't see anything instant, don't back off your faith then. Continue to believe. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep believing, because there's process sometimes involved here. And I've been prayed for some things that have taken a little time to manifest, and I believe if we back off that, and part of our therapeo is just to keep believing. Keep being involved in that. Keep believing. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't throw it away just because you didn't see an instant healing, or make up some ridiculous theology based on your experience. We always got to come back to the Word of God. And we've all had situations where we have had people, we've prayed for them and they've died. We all have situations where we've prayed for people and there's been situations. We don't know all the answers for that. We haven't got all the answers. But we can't move away into ridiculous theology based on experience and come away from the Word of God. We've got to keep our true north here and believe that, you know, healing's available, and never give up from that position. And so my point being, when you pray for people, when you and I pray for people, or when we get prayed for, because we don't instantly feel anything, don't throw it away. Just believe. This is therapeo. This is process. This is healing has begun. And sometimes it's a process and sometimes it's instant. But let's stick with the program. Yeah? Too many people I've seen pray for a person, they're still feeling the pain. So they say, maybe God didn't heal them, or maybe, and make up something. But the will of God is clear from the Bible that he wants that to happen. And so we don't often know why we don't see those breakthroughs, but we just continue to anyway. My thing is, like, you know, people say to me, well, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? And my answer is always, well, what if they do? What if they do? Let's be the glass half full. Let's be full of faith. Let's be positive. What if they do? And it's stepping out. But just because it didn't happen instantly doesn't mean that something's not happening in that realm. So Isaiah 53 says this. This is prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah's looking down time to the cross 700 years later. It says, surely he has borne our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's the prophecy of Isaiah. And Jesus comes to the earth and he mirrors God and he heals people and does an incredible amount of miracles, and many we don't even know of because they're just not recorded. And then he dies on a cross and he rises from the dead, and Isaiah looks down, and every time he was beaten with that whip, it's by his wounds, paid the price for our healing. But this is really interesting to me. What you find is sometimes the New Testament writers, particularly Paul, will take a part of the Old Testament, and then he'll put it in the New and explain it that it's Jesus. And so this is what Peter does here. He quotes Isaiah, but it's really interesting. It says, Peter says, who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So here's the thing. What he does is he quotes Isaiah, but he changes one word. Isaiah's looking down time and sees the cross and says, by his stripes you are healed. Peter writes this on the other side of the resurrection. Jesus has died, he's risen from the dead, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as Peter's beginning to write that from Isaiah, beginning to write that down, he says, by his stripes, and he changes one word, you were healed. It all took place on the cross. Healing is in the atonement. It's available, it's done. By his stripes you were healed. We sing that song, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross, but you'll never know how much it cost to see your sickness on that cross. And it's been provided for us, for every single person. And Jesus is the same. He's the same today. He's still a healing Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we do that. We're a church that believes in miracles and believes in healing. We need to understand that we need to stick with the program sometimes. Keep believing. Even though you haven't seen an instant breakthrough, keep believing. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Because by his stripes you were healed. It's available for every single person. And so sometimes we think that hearing testimonies is going to build our faith. Someone gets up and says they've been healed, but that'll only energize your faith. We need to be hearing the Bible, the Word of God on healing. That's what will create a faith on the inside of you to believe for it. But having said that, I'm just going to ask Hannah, oh, here she is, to come and just share a little story of something that happened to her right here at Eastside C3. Come on, give her a hand.
Hello, I'm Hannah. I was diagnosed with... I was diagnosed with pre-diabetes 3 years ago, which turned into diabetes, unfortunately, quite quickly. And so I've been learning to live with that over the last few years, and I need to inject insulin when I eat now. And one of the routine things they check during diabetes is your eyesight, because high blood sugars can basically suck the moisture out of the back of your eye and damage all the little capillaries back there. And also I'm pregnant, and it gets worse in pregnancy. So about probably 5 months ago, they sent me for another eye test, and I'd had one before, and it was fine, so I didn't really think about it. But then a couple of weeks after that, I noticed that my vision was a bit fuzzy, and sort of like I'd be blinking to try and clear it, and it wouldn't go away. And it's happened to me before in the past when I've had a really big high, but then by the next day it's gone. But on this occasion, it sort of stuck with me for about 3 weeks. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't actually say anything to my to anyone in my family because I was worried that I knew what it was, and I was in denial. I didn't want to start losing my eyesight. And then after about 2 weeks of blurry eyesight, I got a letter in the mail, and it was the results from my eye exam. And they said, we have found some evidence of diabetic changes in your eyes. They said, at this point, it doesn't need treatment, but it is there. I talked to my doctor about it. Apparently, on a scale of 0 to 3, with 0 being perfect eyesight and 3 being horrendous, that one of my eyes was a 1. But I had this blurry eyesight, and then that Sunday, I came up. I felt very moved by the sermon, very moved, and I felt like God wanted me to start asking for healing. So I came up the front and I was prayed for. I actually specifically asked for healing for my diabetes. And I'm looking, I believe that God has given it to me, and I believe I'm looking forward to the day when I no longer have to take insulin. But because that was what I was focused on, it wasn't till the end of the day that I realised that my sight wasn't blurry anymore, that it was clear. And since then, it has pretty much... So after 3 weeks of fuzziness, it was clear. And since then, it's been the same as it was before. It's been great. And that was really cool. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was at the hospital again for another eye checkup. I think they wanted to further investigate the changes that they had found. And they gave me the drops and everything, and took some different photos of my eyes. And when I went to see the doctor, I said, so what is it? You know, how bad is it? And he said, actually, he said, we almost never see eyes this perfect in here. Yeah, so he said they're fine. He said there's nothing wrong with them. And I was like, really? And he showed me the photos and he explained the photos to me. And he said, the only exceptional thing about your eyes, he said, is that because of the kind of doctor he is, he's an eye doctor, he said, I almost never see eyes this perfect. So, yeah. So there you have it.
I'm sure there are many other testimonies. That's why you need to fill in your prayer and praise cards, please, so that we hear about this stuff. And really, Ben, could you join me, please? So this morning, I've made that short because we're just going to pray for every single person in the room this morning that has some kind of sickness, some kind of medical problem. We'd like everybody to come, even if you've been prayed for before.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.